Your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, 14th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read but one verse of Scripture, and that'll be verse number 34 of chapter 14. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for the great privileges that you've given, Father, that we would be born and grew up here in this great country. I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank you that because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, your wonderful Son, I know because of him and his blessings upon this place, upon this people, Lord, you've given us many privileges. But Father, once again today, we have to admit to you, we failed in many areas. Lord, we failed to be what we should be, Lord, in the way we should act as Christians in a nation here that is not doing everything, certainly everything it should do. Seems like, Lord, it just not goes backwards all the time. But Father, I believe that you could still do a great work here. I believe you want to. And I just pray today, this preacher needs you, needs your power, needs your wisdom. And Lord, above all this morning, I do want to lift up your name, want to honor you this morning, Father, for you're the one that deserves honor. And Lord, I trust that as a people today that we'll all just bear our hearts toward you. Lord, let you do what needs to be done in every one of our hearts today. We're going to thank you and praise you for your goodness. Ask that you have your will in these services. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. No doubt about the truth that righteousness is what exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I think that we can look at America today and look back years and years when she was founded, about 228 years ago when she was founded, and look at all that God did in this great land of ours. Over those years, she's never been a perfect nation, never been a perfect people. We all know that. But we know the blessings of God has been upon this nation. There's no nation like this nation for taking the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and taking it across the world. It's always been, it's always done that, and it's still doing that. But we also know this morning that this is a nation that is not what it ought to be. We know that it's heading in the wrong direction, and we want to see it righted. We want to see things come again and be like they ought to be as far as God is concerned. It just seems like all the time you hear something where they're trying to take God out of this and God out of that. Took it out of our schools a long time ago. Great tragedy. Generations are now growing up without the great Bible, the book in their school, able to pray and all of that. And it's been proven down through those years. It's proven, I think it was 62 when they did that, took prayer out of school, 1962. It's proven that this nation and the school system has went downward because of that. So I'm just going to talk to you this morning a little while. I've just got some things on my heart. I've always, over all of these years, felt like that there still could be revival. I really believe that God could, still wants to do something in America and still could do something in America. I've lived, coming this year in August, 65 years. I was born in 1939, August the 15th. If you want to write that down, you can write that August the 15th down if you want to, but... you just don't get it, do you, folks? But anyway, but in 1939, I was born, and I feel that it was a wonderful thing to be born in America. Amen. I just do. I was born in a four-room house. That's what I was born in. All of us wasn't there at the same time, but there was nine of us children all together. Mom and Dad had nine children, and it seemed like there was about 100. in the house when it was four-room house, and you just stacked them. You know, you just put them anywhere you could put them. But I didn't know that that was a bad thing. I just thought it was a good thing. Mom and Dad was some of the hardest workers that you would ever want to meet, and some of yours was too. And you know about that. But my mom and Dad worked hard, just very, very hard. And they taught us boys how to work, and the girls how to work. And at the age of 11, I'm not bragging or doing anything like this. I just want you to know something. Age 11, young men, I went to work in the summertime. I always worked at home, but I went out in the summertime. Went out to Herschel Netzer. Went to work for him. He planted tomato fields, and that year he had seeded them instead of just the plants. He seeded them, and my job was, and he gave me a stick. I can't remember how long the stick was. Can't remember, but he said, I want a tomato plant at least that far apart. And they was tomato plants all down through there, and all of my job was go down there and hoe them out and get them ready and leave the good plant. That's what I started doing when I was 11 years old. I went to work and in the summertime to make money. We're not griping and complaining about this. I'm just trying to say to you, don't be afraid to work, young men and young ladies. Don't be afraid to work. It's good for you. It'll help you. You see, I still remember back when the church bells rung. We lived right outside of Fillmore, Indiana, and the church bells rung when the Second World War was over. I remember that, and I remember my brother Buell coming home from the service. My brother Wilmer had already got home earlier, but Buell coming home. He was in the Navy, and I remember him coming home. How my mother was so happy to see my brother. He got home safely. I remember them doorways in our little old house. They wasn't very big, but when he stood in that doorway, he just filled the whole doorway. He was pretty tall. He was about 6'3", I think. And I still remember looking up at my brother and seeing him come home from the service after the war. So there's just a lot of things you look back on. You remember that a lot of people has paid a high cost for freedom. And some of them are right here today. You've paid a high cost for freedom. Others gave their life for freedom. You know about this. There's others giving their life today for freedom. And we ought to be grateful and thankful we have such a great nation that God has given us to live in. But I want to just talk to you. I want to go back some years and kind of bring us up to date. Some of you won't remember this. Some of you will remember this. But after the war, Second World War, prosperity come to America. It really did. It spread across America. America began to be a very prosperous nation. Now, we can look back and say, was that good or was that bad? But God's blessing certainly in a prosperous way was upon this nation. And people began to be able to get a lot of things. And because of that, and we can go back through the scripture. I can go back, and I remember especially in Judges, the 8th chapter of Judges, where Gideon had talked about. But they said they forgot God in prosperity. They forgot God. And I think that's what happened to America. America become prosperous, and she just forgot God. And there's no doubt in my mind today, there's a lot of people today, don't give one thought today about God Almighty. They're too caught up in their things. And so they've just forgotten God. What happened was Sunday became unimportant. Now, I'm telling you, you go back and you have to look way back there. Sunday used to be important. I mean, everything shut down on Sunday that was just absolutely not necessary to run. I mean, it just shut down. You couldn't find stores open. You bought everything on up through Saturday, and you didn't do those things. I mean, it just shut down. But now Sunday don't mean much to anybody. Now, I know it does you. You're here today, and I'm thankful for that. But Sunday don't mean a whole lot. You go to town today and you find stores open everywhere. Shame on them. They ought to close their doors and realize that Sunday's a special day, a wonderful day. But that began to develop over the years, and Sunday just isn't important anymore. People can find all kinds of things to do on Sunday, and it just doesn't matter to them, you see. But that's the Lord's day. Today we ought to take and have it set aside for the Lord's Day, like you've done today. You ought to be in God's house. This isn't something. This ought to be our reasonable service. We ought to be in God's house on the Lord's Day. Amen. So what happened was they began to just let Sundays be unimportant. Bibles began to be also unimportant and forgotten. They began to be little ornaments that sat on our tables instead of Bibles that was opened up and read. You see, the Bible used to be well worn. I can't remember who it was. It was in my office, and he looked at my Bible, and he said that thing's been around a while. And I said, yeah, it's been around a little bit. And he said it's got tore pages, and he was looking at it there. He said it's got tore pages, and it's got all written there, and it's kind of the pages are kind of all worn. And I said, that's the way a Bible's supposed to be. That's what a Bible's for. It's not to sit on our table and look at it as some kind of ornament. But what happened down through these years in America, the Bible has become unimportant. It's maybe a showpiece to show, but it's not a book to be read, realizing it's God's Word, the wonderful Word of God. And so this has began to develop all down through the years. Prayer meetings, I don't know whether you understand it or not, but prayer meetings is a wonderful, wonderful thing that started many, many, many years ago. And anymore, a lot of churches never have prayer meetings. We on Wednesday night, we have a Bible study and we have a prayer meeting. After our Bible study, we get on our knees before the Lord and we pray. We ask God's blessings and help. That's what prayer meetings are all about. You see, and certainly we ought to study the Bible, but we ought to pray. Amen. And so prayer meetings has just kind of declined. Multitudes of churches this week will not have any Wednesday night services. And in some situations, wouldn't do any good if they did, because a lot of folk wouldn't be there anyway. But I'm just simply saying to you, prayer meetings are important times. Bible study is important time. I want to read to you this. I read this some years back, but I'm sure some of you have not heard this. But I want to read it to you. It's called The Obituary of Mrs. Prayer Meeting. All right? It says, Mrs. Prayer Meeting died recently at the First Neglected Church on Worldly Avenue. Born many years ago in the midst of great revivals, she was a strong, healthy child, fed largely on testimony and Bible study, soon growing into a worldwide prominence and was one of the most influential members of the famous church family. For the past several years, Mrs. Prayer Meeting has been failing in health, gradually wasting away until rendered helpless by stiffness of knees, coldness of heart, inactivity, and weakness of purpose and willpower. At the last, she was a shadow of her former happy self. Her last whispered words were inquiries concerning the strange absence of her loved ones, now busy in the markets of trade and places of worldly amusements. Experts, including Dr. Works, Dr. Reform, and Dr. Joyner, disagreed as to the cause of her fatal illness. They had administered large doses of organization, socials, contests, and drives, but to no avail. A post-mortem showed that a deficiency of spiritual food, coupled with the lack of faith, heartfelt religion, and general support were contributing causes. Only a few were present at her death, sobbing over memories of her past beauty and power. In honor of her going, the church doors will be closed on Wednesday nights, except the third Wednesday night of each month, when the Ladies Pink Lemonade Society serves refreshments to the men's handball team. You know, and it is kind of funny, isn't it? But yet at the same time, isn't that sad? Because let me tell you something, that's what's happened. It's what's happened across this land. A lot of churches shut down their Sunday night services. You shut down their Sunday night service, people's not interested. People don't want to go. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a whole lot of churches out there still holding the line, just having Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We know that. There's good churches out there just doing it all the time. But a whole lot of them are not anymore. See, it's declined. And that's what's happening to America. One of the things that I believe that has really hurt us as churches in America is the fear of God. You just don't see the fear of God anymore. The fear of God is just not there and present in most Christians today. It doesn't make any difference what God says in His Word. It doesn't make any difference. They can just pass it on by because there's no fear of God whatsoever. So I'm saying to you folks, there's just a whole lot of things that's happened down through the years that's brought America to where she is today. Now, I'm going to say some things, and I want you to listen to me. I'm saying them because they're true. Let me tell you one of the greatest problems that happened in America to the family life, and that's when the mamas went to work. Now, you can get mad at the preacher if you want to, but the Bible tells us that a woman is to be the keeper of the home. And when we sent our women out into the workplaces, the home suffered because of it. And I'm saying to you folks, that has developed in America, and now all at once it's as though it's okay, it doesn't matter anymore, because that's the way we do it. It's not the way the Word of God does it. God needs those mothers training those sweet, precious children. There's no one in the world can train your children like a mama can train them. There is just no one can do it like that. And what happened in America, the mothers went to work and child training was forgotten. So that's why we see all that's going on across America today. We see these children growing up without being trained properly. It's a shame. It's a disgrace to this country. And then we look around and wonder why our country is in such a shape as it is today. Fathers become more interested in pleasure than in raising a godly family. They found all kinds of pleasures to add to their repertoire, and they do that. They get that done no matter what else gets done. That's more important than raising a godly family. I'm saying to you, daddies, we better get back to being daddies and get away from all the pleasure all the time and give our heart and our lives to raising our children in a godly manner. But that's what happened over the time. We've got too much, folks. I mean, we've got too much. Prosperity has come to America, and we've got too much, and because of that, our hearts are there instead of where their hearts ought to be, you see. So again, I'm saying to you, it used to be years ago when a man said, "I give you my word," it meant something. I still mean that with all my heart. I still remember my daddy. Time and time again, I've seen him shake a hand with someone who was doing something for him or him doing for something else. Just shake hands. And you knew that it was going to get done. Because their word meant a lot. And anymore, the word just don't seem to mean much anymore. Now, when I say that, your word may, I don't know, but let me tell you, people just lie to you anymore, and just their word don't mean a thing. Just tell you this and tell you that, and just don't mean a thing, you know. So I'm saying to you, we've got to get back to something. That's what's happened over time here in America. You know, the reputation of a name is very important. A person's name should mean a lot. And in fact, when he gives his word, you ought to say, "Well, that's so-and-so. And his word is good." So you don't have to worry about that being done or him doing what he said he would do because he's got a good name. And it means a lot. Proverbs says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And I'm saying today that thing's been reversed. I think the riches are greater to be chosen than a good name today, it seems like anyway to me. So then, of course, we come along down through the years, and the sodomites increased in the land. They're everywhere today. There are not as many of them as they want you to think there is, but sodomites are all over this land today. It's a horrible, terrible thing, and it's an indication of the wickedness of this land of ours. And so then, of course, you know what happened in the abortion thing. We don't have to spend time on that. But right at 42 million babies, listen to me, 42 million babies since abortion become legal has been aborted. Now let that sink into your head. In America. That's in America. That's not across the world. It's in America. And we wonder why this nation is going downhill. And I'm saying to you, we're going to have to correct these things. We're going to have to turn it around if this nation is going to turn around. You see drugs everywhere. I mean, terrible meth labs everywhere. They're just a problem no matter where you look. These meth labs and drugs are a problem. I've told you this before, but I didn't even know what drugs was when I was a boy. No, I'm serious. I did not know what drugs was. If someone had said to me, you know, so-and-so's got drugs, I'd have thought, what in the world are they talking about? Never even heard about them. Don't even know what they was. You see, but they're everywhere today. Pornography, some of the most filthy stuff in all the world is going on today. Filthy pictures that they say you can get over the internet and all of that kind of stuff. Filthy filth that gets into people's minds. And I know I can name you two families right now that homes broke up because of the internet. Now there's a lot more than that, but I know personally two families where they broke up and went after somebody else just over the internet. What I'm simply saying to you, this is foolish. This has been going on. All this abuse that's going on, child abuse and parent-to-parent abuse and all of those kinds of things. That's foolishness, folks. But why is it that way? It's because it's developed. Over all of these years, it's developed, you see. And because of that, homes are breaking up all over this nation. You understand? Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying America needs help. We need help. Amen. We just need help. And let me tell you, all of this was brought on by forgetting God. We forgot God. We put God out of the picture, you see. The Bible says in Romans they did not like to retain God in their thoughts. And that's exactly what's going on today across this land. They don't want to think about God. Well, we better think about God. You see, here's what I believe. I really believe we just need, and you've heard this preacher say it so many times, we just need an old-fashioned revival, getting back to God. Oh, how we need to get back to God. And listen to me, I'm not just talking about a time of religious entertainment. I'm so sick of some of this stuff that's going on in the name of religion, in the name of Christianity. Entertainment, and that's all it is. It's entertainment. People want to be entertained rather than get right with God. That's not revival. No way is that revival, you see. And I don't mean these high pressure methods of getting people to make a decision. I want to tell you something. The way a person's going to get saved, the way an individual Christian's going to get right with God is going to have to get a hold of the heart. God's going to have to get a hold of the heart, and they come to God with brokenheartedness and come to God and get saved, come to God and turn back to God. That's the kind of revival we need. And if America doesn't have that kind of revival, we are in trouble. We're already in trouble. But if we don't get it, we are really, really in trouble. See, what we think, we can just continue on the way and everything's going to turn out all right. It isn't going to turn out all right, folks. It isn't. We need old-fashioned revival. Now, I'm not just talking about some emotional outburst that don't last any longer than the meeting. I'm talking about something that does something in our hearts that changes our lives toward God. I believe something. I believe revival is God moving amongst His people and bringing repentance and changing lives and shaking a community for God. That's what I believe old-fashioned revival will do. You won't be the same if you get revived. You won't be the same as you was before that. You'll be different. And this country needs that, you see. There's no revival, Ben, when unfaithfulness to God and His church is the same as it was before the so-called revival. Amen. There's been no revival. You see, revival does something. Revival changes us, you see, and shakes us to the core, you see. And there's no revival, Ben, when the service for God does not change, and it's just like it was before. That's not revival. I want to tell you, revival will get a hold of you. I'm telling Pastor Jerry here in the last few days, we've been talking about things, and I told him, I said, I want to tell you something. I remember back, and that's what old folk do. You remember back. Amen. But I remember back. I remember so well when this church was started and the years after this church was started. And I remember, I could just see it. I can see it in my eyes right now. This church building being built. I mean, I'm telling you, people would come Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays after work, Saturdays they'd be here. I mean, there was an excitement in the air. No, I'm telling you, some of you was here. You remember those days. You know the excitement that was there. And it just took sacrifice, and they came and they built and they loved God and they walked with God and they still went out and visited and still went and invited their neighbors. And I mean, I remember those days. And I'm just saying to you, where has those days went? Where is the excitement about the work of God? Where is it at? We need old-fashioned revival. You see, I believe that when real revival comes, you won't have to go uptown and tell them we're having revival. I believe the whole community will be aware of it. Amen? And I believe there's been no revival when pleasure is still more important than God's word. No way. What do we need, Brother Ross? We need revival. Revival that comes from God, that stirs our heart, all of our hearts, toward the Lord. And I believe also there's been no revival when preachers will change their message to please the people. Instead of just preaching the word of God and preaching what they need to hear, not worrying about what any of us think, but just preaching the word of God to a people. That's what we need. You see, and if we don't have those kind of things, there's no use us saying we had revival. For revival has not come. You understand what I'm saying? This nation, folks, this nation needs God. And we need an old-fashioned revival. I'm just going to give you four things. It won't take me but just a few moments. But I want to give you four things that I believe that God wants to see in Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and certainly at America. First of all, if we're going to have revival, we are going to have to ourselves individually get right with God. We're not going to have to quit and look across the aisle and say somebody else needs to get right with God. No, we are going to have to get right with God. Each one of us individually is going to have to take our life to the Lord and say, I'm going to be different. I'm not going to be the same as I used to be. You see, here's what Hezekiah said. Listen to what he said. He said, that's over in 2 Chronicles 29. He says, now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. Hezekiah said, first of all, he started off with now. It's time now. Right now. And he said, it is in mine heart. He wasn't looking to the other people. He wasn't looking to the Israelite people. He said, it's in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God. What I'm saying to you folks is we're going to have to quit passing the buck on this thing and quit just looking at everybody else and saying, you get right with God and everything will be all right. We're going to have to get this thing personal. And we're going to have to get right with God ourselves. You see, this country needs revival, no doubt about it, but it's going to start with the individual. Thank God if we could see a whole church get right with God and have revival in the church. Thank God, but it's always with the individual. It's always with you and it's always with me. We need to get right with God and see to it that our life is right with the Lord. And if it is, I'll guarantee you there'll be a humbleness about us. There'll be a recognition that we're not much. Someone said the other day to me, said so-and-so said, no, they wouldn't fall because they're strong. He said, this person said, no, I'm not going to fall because I'm stronger than that. I said, oh, that person's heading for a fall. The moment you think you're strong, you're in trouble. Apostle Paul, we realized it was in weaknesses where he found God's strength. And the moment you think you're strong, you can really do it, I'm telling you, you're headed for a fall. Better realize we can do nothing without Jesus, and we need him above all. So I'm saying to you, each one of us needs to get right with God individually. Every one of us needs to get right with God and put all this foolishness aside and recognize the fact that the reason America's in the shape she is it's because of us. Not everybody else, but because of us. Not only that, we must believe. I believe with all of my heart, when the next thing we ought to do is believe that God wants to do it and God can do it. I believe with all of my heart God can do it. I believe God can do anything. God said over in Isaiah 44, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. You know, the problem isn't with God that he'll pour the floods out. The problem is most of us are not thirsty. The problem is not with God. Do you understand that? Problem's not with God. But he will keep his word. God will do what he said over in 2 Chronicles. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, he says, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God said that. That's a covenant-keeping God who said that. God still wants to do that. And I believe God is able to supply it. You see, he's a covenant-keeping God, you see, and he'll do what needs to be done. And let me say something to you. A lot of our problem here in America, we've got it all mixed up on what our needs is and what our wants is. We think because God has not supplied this and that, God has not supplied our need. God promised to supply our need. It's a promise of God, and he'll keep his promises, you see. And we got to realize that's the kind of God that we serve. He's a covenant-keeping God. And he will do for us as we need if we'll just turn our hearts and our life to him and call upon his name and ask him, he'll help us. Not only that, we must be prepared to let God do it his way and not our way. Most of the time when we call out for God, we've got restrictions on how he's to do it. We want God to do it just exactly the way we want it done. I want you to know something. God is sovereign. And God can do anything he wants to do and will do whatever needs to be done. He's not going to ask us about it. God is the God of revival. I believe that with all of my heart. But the agents he uses is folk like me and you. That's what he uses. And we've got to be willing. Listen, God's not trying to revive this building. He's not trying to revive them seats you're sitting in or Sunday school classes. What he wants to revive is you and me. He wants to get a hold of our hearts and shake us and make us realize we do need God and that he does want to do some wonderful things, you see. So we need to just realize that God will send revival in his time and in his way. Amen. And we ought to be willing to accept whatever God does to send revival. Not only that, I believe something. Once he sends revival, there's not a person's going to have to ask, did we have revival? Whenever God comes on the scene, it's going to be evident. And I want you to know something. We need it. Places in the Bible, back in, I think it's 4th chapter of Acts, it says the place was shaken. I believe we need shook. I believe we need shook. And when God would shake us, we'll know it. We won't have to ask, did God show up? No, it'll be very evident that God showed up. And folks, America, we need it so much here in America. We're headed the wrong direction, folk, and horrible things could be in our future if we don't get back to God. See, I just happen to believe that. Believe with all my heart. A lot of things is going on across this nation. I don't know how President Bush and his people live from day to day. I don't know how they do. The pressure that's on them is just astounding to me. And I think somebody this morning prayed for the president. Thank you so much for doing that. Because we ought to pray for the president and all his people. But I'm telling you, we need God. We individually need God. The greatest thing we could do for our president is become godly people. Be a godly people and let righteousness exalt this nation. So I'm saying to you, we've got to quit worrying about doing so much in the flesh and get back to doing it in the spirit. The Spirit of God, getting the work of God done, because God is the one that's doing it. The Bible says in Psalms 118, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes.
Amen.
You see, God can do it. God will do it. Let us be a people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that just turns their hearts over to God and says, oh God, come. Come and fill us. Use us here in this place to be something special for you. Just to see God do a work here. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we just receive what God has for us and realize that God came and met with us? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful to see a community in this area, the communities of this area just shook for God? Wouldn't you like to see that? That'd be worth everything. You see, let me tell you, we need it. America needs it. And I want you to just this morning just to realize how much God loves you, but how much he wants you to yield yourself to God. Amen. I was thinking about Rochella there getting ready to go overseas and all this, but I thought to myself, are we a people can even in a position to pray? Are we in a position to pray anymore? I mean, I wonder sometimes, are we so backslidden that God really don't pay much attention to our prayers? Well, I want to tell you something. I know right now there's a lady back there hoping our prayers will work. Amen. And we just got to get a hold of God, folks. And we just got to do that. And you look back, I've took you back a little ways and kind of brought you up. I want to tell you, it used to be different. It's never perfect. It was never everything it ought to be, but it used to be so much different. And it isn't that way anymore. And we need to thank God for all he's done and become a thankful people, a grateful people, and turn to him and say, oh God, let us just give our hearts, our lives to you and just do what you say. Amen. Now, I can't, through my voice, shake any of you. I can't shake any of you. If you don't open your heart to God, there'll be nothing done. This old preacher don't have the ability to get in your heart and change it and shake it. You can come into this service and you can go out the very same way you came in. Not even giving any thought to anything that this preacher said. I'm saying to you, we need you. The nation needs you and needs me to do something different. To be a different kind of people. To say, oh God, help us to be what we should be. I'm just going to, in a few moments, just give a simple invitation. I want to say, first of all, if you're not saved, don't play around with God. If you're not saved, you're not sure of your salvation, why don't you just walk down this aisle and just get it right this morning and say, oh God, I want to be sure that I'm ready for heaven. No doubts whatsoever. I just want to be sure I'm ready. Why don't you just do that? Why don't you start right there? And then as a Christian, you say, I've not really given myself over to the Lord like I should. I've just kind of been holding back. But why don't you this morning quit holding back and just give yourself to the Lord? Amen. Tell him that you'd be one that'd be willing to be used, whatever he wants to do with you. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Wouldn't that be a good thing? What we're going to do is just bow our heads, close our eyes, and I'm just going to ask you this morning, think about what I've said. Are you saved? No, I didn't say, did you have a church experience? I said, are you saved? Are you born again? Are you ready for heaven? Do you know that for sure? If not, why don't you just come right on down the aisle and let us help you. Amen. If you're here as a Christian, you say, Brother Ross, I need help this morning. I need to be more for God than I have been. And I'm just going to give my heart and life to the Lord this morning. Let him use me for the glory of God. Will you please just bow your heads as I pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and kindness. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. And Father, I do pray that if there's anyone here unsaved, not sure of salvation, oh Father, let this be the day that they're born again. Please, Lord, convict their hearts and help them to understand their need of Jesus. And I pray also for we as Christians, Lord, there's a need today. I pray that you stir us and help us to be willing to yield to you in Jesus' name. Amen.